I want to get started this morning. I appreciate Linda praying for me because I always I trust that the Lord would speak to your heart what you need to hear and what we each need to hear, and I trust that He would do that. I hope that you did your lesson this week because I think it's a great, great reminder that we'll be talking about in our groups. But I want to tell you this morning a little bit about a friend of mine named Mary. Her name is Mary Hendricks. I met her about 21 years ago when she and I both had moved to Lake Forest, Illinois, a suburb on the North Shore in Chicago. I had moved from Seattle with my husband and our two young sons, and Mary had moved with her husband and their two teenage kids to Lake Forest from Newport Beach, California. Mary and her husband were native Californians, and if you know anything about Californians, they don't like to move. You know, Texans don't either, but those beach people, they really don't like to move. So they had made the journey to Illinois, and Mary had prayed for a friend, and I was the friend. I was the answer to her prayer. I didn't know that, but I became the friend that she had prayed for. Well, Mary and Don, her husband, were only in Lake Forest about 2 years before they were moved back to Newport Beach. But in those 2 years, in that time period, she and I became very close friends and laughed a lot together because Mary's got a great sense of humor and cried a few times and so forth, but we had a great friendship. But when they moved, what was such a lesson for me was that Mary did not sit back and let the miles keep our friendship from growing. Mary made a point to spend time and energy in growing our friendship. She would call me faithfully week after week. Sometimes I'd be like, Mary's calling again, you know. But she would make a point to call me on the phone. She would write cards, notes. As email became popular, she often emails me, and she kept up our friendship, our relationship. We talked about our lives. She would tell me about her grown children. I would talk to her about our younger son. We shared prayer requests. We, as I said, laughed a lot. She loved to joke, and we at times cried, even on the phone across the miles. I value her friendship to this day, and I can't wait to tell her that I used her because I'm sure I'll talk to her this week. But I do value her friendship greatly and what she has taught me about cultivating a relationship, about developing a friendship, even a long-distance one. And what did I learn from Mary? I learned that to develop a relationship, you have to be intentional. It's not going to just happen. It's going to take purpose and determination. And that's what Mary has taught me in friendships, because I think I might have just let hers go. I would have been her friend, but we would have not done life together through these 21 plus years. Well, this week, the focus in chapter 4 of our book, A Mother's Heart, has been developing our own relationships with God. Now, that's interesting because really we're looking at a parenting book, aren't we, about mothering. And yet, if you and I are going to impact our children, whatever age they are, spiritually, we're going to have to develop our own spiritual lives first. It's a given. You've probably heard this before, but it's very true when you're thinking about impacting your little ones. More is caught than taught. More is caught than taught. Another thing I always would try to remember is that you cannot lead anyone where you yourself haven't gone. That applies to all kinds of leadership in your home, in ministry, in any kind of place where you are put as a leader to influence others. You can't lead anyone where you haven't gone. So if your heart's desire is to have an impact on your children's spiritual lives, that it's imperative that you nurture your own relationship with God. And how are you going to do that? Well, it's going to take intentionality. I guess that's a word. But you're going to need to be intentional, like my friend Mary, and be purposeful in going about this. Now, we want to stop right there because right off the bat we remember that God is the one who grows us. But once we belong to Him by faith in Christ, and we know Scripture teaches that the only way to have a relationship with the perfect holy God is by faith in His Son, whom He sent here to who left heaven, the second person of the Trinity, God Himself, who became flesh, walked this earth, lived a perfectly holy life in dependence on His Father, and then was willing to lay down His life in obedience to His Father's command, bear our sins, our moral debt we could not pay to God, die in our place, and then on the cross be buried. God raised Him from the dead, accepting His sacrifice for our sin, and now He sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven on our behalf. So in a nutshell, that's the gospel. So Jesus, His words are quoted in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Me. It is only through faith in Christ, and you've heard that before. But in a group like this, we always need to say and not assume that every single person has a relationship with God. No, it's by faith in His Son. And that's God's work. It's also His work to grow us. But once you are His, we have to cooperate with Him. Just like my friend Mary, she didn't go to California and just remember me. No, she picked up the phone and called me. Well, it's the same way with our spiritual life. We have to cooperate with God. He gives the growth, but we partner with Him in that. So, we want to look this morning, then, at how we grow. What are we to be intentional about? Number one, we're to be intentional about the Word of God. Now, this is probably not new news to most of you, but as I worked on this, God really pricked my heart, and I trust that He will do that in a gracious way with you as well. Because some of us have been a Christian for a long time, and yet and we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. But this, working on this week, which often happens, was a message to me. So I pray that it will be for you as well if you've been a Christian for a while. We are to be intentional about the Word of God. 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Now, that's the New King James Version. It sounds a little bit old school, but I like it because it puts in a nutshell the truth is that we grow, one of the major ways we grow in our relationship with God, in developing that relationship, is through the Word of God. And the word here, desire, is crave. Those of you with little babies right now, you know that. Newborn babies, they crave milk. And they're going to not let up until they get it, right? Even toddlers and on up. I remember having a toddler who would come and hang on my leg until I would give him something to eat. You know, it wasn't quite dinner time, but he would not let go. So what did I do? I gave him something to eat. That's the picture of how we're to be intentional about the Word of God. And what does it say? That we may grow thereby. It's our food. It's our nourishment. Babies grow through the milk, through milk. And that's what the Word of God does for us. Why the Word of God? Well, that is God's making Himself known. Any kind of a relationship, we have to know the other person. And think about the fact that the eternal God has condescended to make Himself known in the pages, I don't have mine right here, it's right over there, of His Word. I want to read to you a quote by an author, J.I. Packer. You can see that my book is well-worn. I love this book because it is such a book about growing your relationship with God. It's called Knowing God, and it was written in the 70s, but it is a classic. In fact, I had a pastor some years ago say that he recommended that you read this book once a year because it's so foundational. Now, certainly alongside the Bible. But anyway, in this book, I just happened to come across this week because I had picked this book up again. This author, J.I. Packer, writes, speaking about the Word of God, that though God is a great king, it is not His wish to live at a distance from His subjects. Rather, the reverse. He made us with the intention, notice the word, God is very intentional in His relationship with us. He made us with the intention that He and we might walk together forever in a love relationship. But such a relationship can only exist when the parties involved know something of each other. God, our Maker, knows all about us before we say anything. You can read about that in Psalm 139. But we can know nothing about Him unless He tells us. Here, therefore, is a further reason why God speaks to us, meaning in His Word, not only to move us to do what He wants, but to enable us to know Him so that we may love Him. Therefore, God sends His Word to us, both for information and invitation. It comes to woo us, as well as instruct us. It calls us into personal communion with the loving Lord Himself. So God has given us His Word to instruct us, but also to woo us, to draw us to Himself. It's a love letter. He draws near to us in His Word, and then He draws us near to Him. So every time, I'm going to have to run over here and get it because I need to use it. Every time you and I pick up this book, we need to stop and realize this is the very Word of God. It's His message personally to you and me, and to think about that. He's speaking to us. He wants to speak to us. And Hebrews 4:12 says, the Word of God is alive and active. It's living. Yes, it was written, penned by writers millennia ago, centuries and centuries and centuries ago, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. God breathed, as it were, through different writers. So it was maybe their style of writing. But the truths in this book are from God Himself. It's alive. It's living. It is for all people in all places at all times. And it's active. It's on the move. God's Word is like a double-edged sword, that verse goes on to say, and it goes right to the core of who we are and our situations, and helps us to have God's perspective, to know what's important to Him, to know what He's like, and so forth. His Word is relevant, and we need to remember that as well. So how do we hear what God wants to speak to us individually about your circumstances? I'm in a place right now where I really need to hear from the Lord about some circumstances, a circumstance. So how am I going to open this book and really know what He's speaking to me through? Well, I need to pray. You and I need to pray for the Holy Spirit's help. In Psalm 119:18, we read the psalmist praying, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things out of your law." That's the Spirit reminding us through the psalmist that we need the Spirit's help. Jesus said, when He spoke to His disciples, we have recorded in John 16, verse 13, that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who comes to indwell believers, is the Spirit of truth, who will guide us into all truth. That's a promise. So when you come to this book each day, ask the Lord to open your eyes. Ask the Holy Spirit. We need His help. This is a supernatural book, and we need supernatural help. Then, moving on from just reading it, how do we even more so do our part? How do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit? We reflect on what we've read. Reflecting means taking time to chew on it, think about it. It's kind of hard to do, isn't it, with all the other things you have on your mind? Just take one verse, you know? I have a verse that comes to me frequently. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Now, I can chew on that all day. Rejoice evermore in the Lord, you know, pray without ceasing and so forth. So I'm not saying you need a whole section of Scripture, but where you are in your place, what can you do to reflect on God's Word? Sometimes I've used this. There are all kinds of help. Sometimes I've used four questions when I read the Word. I ask myself as I'm looking through a passage, what does this passage tell me about God, about Christ? What does it tell me about His character or what's important to Him, what He values, what's on His heart? Second question, is there something in this passage that's pricking my heart? In other words, is there something this is reminding me of that I've grieved the Lord? is there a sin to confess, a place where I've missed God's mark? That's what sin is, missing His perfect mark. And He's so gracious with us to help us see that so we can come and say, yes, Lord, I blew that. That's what confession is, acknowledging our sin before the Lord and repenting, turning away from it and praying, Lord, help me to have the strength not to do that again. We do that in the Word. Third question to ask of the four, if you're reading through a passage and you're trying to reflect on it, is there a promise to claim? This book is rich with promises from God, but they will do nothing for us unless we claim them by faith and say, I'm going to stand on the truth of your word. In James 1:5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men, women, liberally, gives to all people freely. And he doesn't reproach us for asking. That's a promise through God's word. We can claim that. Lord, you've said in your word that you would give wisdom if we ask and believe that you're going to give it, and you give it freely. We don't have to pay for it. Stand on that and know that in His way He will give you wisdom in that circumstances. We need to claim the promises of God. And then finally, the fourth question, and these again are just some helps. The fourth question is there something He's calling me to do in this passage? Now, they may not all be in a passage, but those are just four things you can ask as you're trying to take a piece of Scripture, a portion of Scripture, and apply it in your life. Hear what God is speaking to you individually. Is there some place of obedience the Lord has for you? And then finally, to remember it. To memorize it. Sometimes we need to memorize it. In Psalm 1, we read about the two ways. The very first psalm in the Bible says that there's blessing for the person who delights in the law of the Lord. The one who doesn't hang out with people who have no interest in God, people that are mocking God. But instead, the person is blessed who chooses to delight in the Word of God and on God's Word to meditate day and night. There's blessing promised for that person. The word meditate in the original language means to ponder it by talking about it to yourself. So it may be weird, but that's what it says, is that's how we take in the Word of God. We talk to ourselves about it. But what does that mean? What does that mean for my life? Do you see what it means to really be intentional about the Word of God? I brought a few little helps also. I think there's time that we need to supplement the Word of God, not replace it. But there have been some books that have been helpful in my life, and you have your share, I know. I just wanted to show you a few today. I'll have to talk loudly. But this book, as you can see, has been sort of my go-to book. I go to this book when there's distress going on. So there must have been a lot of distress in my years as a Christian, but I love this little book. It's called Streams in the Desert by Mrs. Kalman, and she was a missionary, and it's a classic devotional book. Again, these are just helps. When you just kind of need a kickstart sometimes, they take the Word of God, the writer, she compiles all kinds of classic writing, one scripture, and then amplifies it. Precious little poems and so forth. Another classic that many of you might have used is My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, and I found it to be greatly helpful. This was actually my parents' book. Mine is kind of tattered through the years, but I have theirs now. This is a fairly new devotional book called Jesus Calling. And this woman had some years in her life where she had much time to listen to the Lord through His Word, and she has taken her own sense of what God spoke to her, and then at the bottom of each one, she has the Scripture references. I like that. I get nervous when I'm just hearing what people think God has told them. But if it's based on the Word, then I can rest in that. So this has been an interesting book that I use from time to time. I'm a big fan of Ruth Meyers. She has a series of books. She and her husband were missionaries with the Navigators program. She wrote 31 Days of Praise. It's a day-by-day how to praise God based on Scripture. It's a great book. 31 Days of Prayer she has, 31 Days of Power. This has to do with spiritual victory when you're in a struggle. And then a book I had forgotten about, The Satisfied Heart, that she wrote. 31 Days of Experiencing God's Love.
and it's a sweet, sweet, helpful book. Charles Spurgeon, I haven't used his book quite as much, but I have it morning and evening. I know some of you use that. And then Nancy Lee DeMoss has written a good book on how to have a meaningful time of devotion with the Lord. So, again, these are just some books I pulled real quickly late last night out of my library to share with you, and you can come up here and look at these. Our own Elizabeth Robinson from this church has written a journal, and that's another thing you can do, this journal, that helps in praising God. So you can get this at Logos Bookstore, and it is a wonderful, precious help on how to be intentionally in the Word of God and then pray and so forth and praise, and we'll talk about that in a minute. One thing that I didn't bring, but many years ago, the Lord, and I have to say, He did this in my life. He gave me a desire to read His Word throughout the whole Bible, several years. And a friend had gotten me started on something called Daily Walk. And it was a one-page devotional each day on a specific scripture so that you read through the whole Bible in a year. It had an explanation of the passage, just very brief, and then an application. And year by year, I used that. And it was so helpful in kind of getting me kick-started again, how to read the Word of God. So these are just some things that have worked in my life. But the point being, again, is to be intentional. Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, said, as we have quoted in Jeremiah 15:16, "When your words came, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight." What do you do when you eat? You nourish yourself on something. You take it in. You digest it. You assimilate it. It becomes part of you. And that's what we're to do with the Word of God. Because what happens then? What you take into your life and intentionally feed on is going to ooze out of your pores. You're not going to have to sit there and think, okay, now I'm going to try to teach my child this today about God. No, it's going to ooze out of your life. It's going to be like your blood. It's just going to come out in all the ins and outs of life. When you're driving carpool, when you're fixing dinner, not all the time is that going to happen, but hopefully over your life, what is going to come out is the character of God Himself. Jesus Himself will be flowing out of you. So it's a great incentive as a mother to be intentional about the Word of God. So what can you do differently this week than you're doing now? Maybe it's just to find a time to read. Pray about that. Ask the Lord to show you that one window. I used to go, in fact, I remember reading this book along with the Word when my children took a nap. I can see myself sitting in the green chair that I think we still have today in our home in Houston, Texas, reading as they took a nap in the afternoon, just taking a little time to nourish my relationship with the Lord. Find the time. Maybe it's just ask yourself those four questions as you're reading through a passage. Think about something this week that'll help you nourish your time in God's Word. Well, what else do we need to be intentional about if we're going to develop our own relationship with the Lord? Prayer. Be intentional about prayer. And I put the quote from Colossians 4:2. We're to devote ourselves to prayer. What does that mean? Well, we need to purposely set aside a time to do that. And again, your time is very fragmented. But again, ask the Lord. He'll show you just a little window. Maybe it's in the shower to pray. But find a time that you can come into the presence of God. When we read His Word and reflect on His Word, He is drawing us near to Him. Now, prayer is a time that we are coming into His presence. He has come to us in His Word. Now, we come to Him in prayer. It's a relationship. Also, we're to pray throughout the day. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, keep on praying. It says, really, don't stop praying. Keep on praying throughout the day. Pray about everything. Talk to the Lord about everything going on in your life. It's really an incredible privilege if you stop and think for a minute that you and I, because of Christ and His finished work, because He died on our behalf, He lives in heaven, we, Scripture tells us, Hebrews 10:19, have boldness, confidence to approach the throne of grace. We have confidence to come into the most holy place, God's presence, the King of the universe. You and I can have an audience with Him and call Him Father.
if you've been a Christian for a long time, like I have, sometimes we take that for granted. You and I have the ear of the one who runs the universe, and he cares about your life and mine. I forget that. Why don't I pray more? He runs the universe. Well, we get God's perspective about ourselves and about others when we go to prayer. What are some helps in prayer? Because if you're like me, you need help. Well, many of us have used ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. That's just an outline for prayer. A way to kind of get us started. The psalmist tells us that we are to enter his gates, his presence, with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Start there. Start with thanksgiving and praise. Sometimes it's good to sing. You know, might be good if you're by yourself. But to go up into your room and just sing a little bit and kind of get yourself ready to pray. Psalm 62:8 says, pour out your heart before him. What a privilege we have. We can be honest with God and say, I'm not doing well here. I know you know that, but I just want to tell you again, I'm not doing well. I need your help in holding up the flag, you know, the help flag. We're to be honest with him, and then we're to listen. Pause to listen to the Lord. That's kind of the hardest deal, isn't it? I can give the list, but taking time when I'm through to listen. And sometimes you don't really necessarily hear anything, but it's a practice, it's a process. As we give him time, he will put impressions on our hearts. And journaling, I mentioned that before. Write down what he's taught you. Write down the traits that you see. Just this morning, I wrote down some things that I saw in the Psalms about God's character. And what I kept reading, I read about three Psalms, was he hears when we cry. And I needed to hear that today. He hears when we cry out to him. Well, honestly, why is prayer difficult? I was thinking about an application, and I thought, okay, we need to just stop right here and say, why is it so hard? Because there's interference. For those of you who watch football, I watch a lot of that because I only have brothers and I only have sons. I watch a lot of football, and I like football. You know, anytime the quarterback is trying to connect with the receiver, there's interference. Because the opposing team does not want that connection to happen. The same is true when we try to pray. There will be interference. So if you're having trouble praying, just know it's not just you. Scripture teaches us we have an enemy, Satan, and he doesn't like prayer. He doesn't like that connection because he knows big things happen when you pray. You see God. You get to know him better. Scripture says that prayer accomplishes a lot. And so there's going to be interference. We might as well just accept that. There is the interference of wandering thoughts. There's busyness. There are distractions. The phone rings. Our to-do list. You know, the doorbell rings. You name it. Lately, I've had the wandering thoughts. Man, it's tough. You know, there's so much to think about. What do we do about that? We pray. We ask for God's help. Lord, help me. You block that interference. And then we persevere. And we keep trying. We never give up. And we will make the connection. And God will move heaven and earth on our behalf. Now, we might not see that right away, but he's at work. So I encourage you to keep on praying so that you'll receive the blessing that he has for you when you spend time in his presence. Finally, we're to be intentional about Christian fellowship. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We grow better together. It's just true. I love that God has put us in a body, his body. And we're to be with one another. Find at least one other Christian friend, maybe more than one, who is intentional about developing her life in the Lord, because you'll grow better together. Just this weekend coming up, I'm excited because a few of my friends from Lake Forest, my prayer group, not my friend Mary from California, but some friends of mine who were in a prayer group with me, we were all in a prayer group. We prayed around one of our friends' kitchen tables every week for our families for many years. We are gathering again this week out at one of our friends' ranch who happens to live here in Dallas as well. and we will get together again. And one of our great joys is to think back and thank the Lord for the answers to prayer that He gave us for our families, especially our children, as we prayed them through those years early on, and then that wonderful junior high age, and then high school, and even college. So I'm excited to see some of them as they fly in this weekend. And I share that with you because I look to that as such a help in my personal life as a mother of having Christian friends alongside me. Well, as you and I purpose to grow spiritually, the result is that Christ lives His life more fully in and through us, and others are impacted as a result. Because when we are intentional about His Word, about prayer, and with Christian friends, then what is formed in us is the life of Christ Himself. Not just words on a page, but the very presence of Christ. That's His promise. So, when you think about your children, the very best thing you can do for them is to be intentional in your relationship and developing that relationship with the Lord so that His life will impact them. I want to close with a poem that's one of my very favorites. And some of you may have heard of this poem. Maybe you like it as well. It's anonymous. We don't know the author of it. And I just think it really sums up. Now, hopefully I didn't lose it. It really sums up what we want to happen if we're intentional about our relationship with the Lord. Ultimately, He will live His life through us and impact other people. Indwelt. Not merely in the words you say, not merely in the deeds expressed, but in the most unconscious way is Christ confessed. Was it a beatific smile, in other words, a saintly smile, a holy light upon your brow? Oh, no. I felt His presence while you laughed just now. To me, 'twas not the truth you taught. To you, so clear to me, still dim. But when you came to me, you brought a sense of Him. And from your eyes He beckons me, and from your heart His love is shed till I lose sight of you and see the Christ instead. Let's pray. Father, we just marvel that You would desire a relationship with us. You, the sovereign God of the universe, would be so intentional to send Your Son to die on our behalf, and that He lives in heaven now on our behalf. Lord, we come and we thank You for Your intention to make us Your own, and we pray that each one of us, with Your grace, would be intentional this week and in the weeks ahead to grow in our knowledge and in our love for You. And we pray that the outflow of that would be that Your life would make an impact on the people that we come in contact with. Not for us, Lord, but for Your glory. We pray this, believing in Jesus' name.